Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh Munt. Sitting next to me in a different state is Tanner Lee. It is one of our favorite episodes of the year. It's our Big Ten football preview, which we are excited to bring to you tonight. How are you doing tonight, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. Like you said, Big Ten football preview. Usually we would do this next week, but we decided to move it up a week. Next week will be our NFL preview show, which we've moved up a week, and we'll be picking week one games next week. So this is a beautiful time of year because we're both big football fans, and now we have enough content easily to fill 60 minutes finally, every week for a long time without blabbing too much and boring the people.
Yeah, it every single time we get to like August, September, it's like, how did we fill an hour during, you know, July or June? I don't know how we did it, but we found
a way. Pretty creative guys.
Yeah, that's not how I'd put it.
Well,
at least for me anyway.
No, me neither, but I'm trying to hype us up a little bit, man. Just roll with it.
Yeah, I can't do that.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I got some birdie or bogey with me this evening, but I'm going to let you take a pick what kind of question you want.
Okay.
They're both Big Ten related. All right. Do you want a player-specific question or a team-specific question?
I'm going to pick team for sure. Team. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think the team one's more difficult, so.
Of course it is.
All right. So the Big Ten originally was 10 teams. Well, before that it was, you know. And then when we grew up, it was 11. Then it expanded to 12, then 14, then 18 as it is present day. Before Penn State joined the Big Ten in 1993, which was the last school to be added to the Big Ten Conference?
Oh, man. That is tough. So it's your 10 original teams then I got to pick from.
Yep. And there was one that joined the conference to make
it last. Huh? All right. Yeah. Well, here's to another bogey. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, casual atmosphere, good cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out.
Well, I will give you what the player one would have been.
Okay.
Who is the all-time leader in rushing yards in Big Ten history?
Melvin Gordon.
Right school.
Ron Dane.
Nope.
Monty Ball.
Nope.
Oh, man. What Wisconsin running back am I missing?
Yeah, you're missing one. You're missing, I mean, there's multiple, but you're missing one.
Melvin Gordon, Monty Ball, Ron Dane. It's not James White. Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor. Yep.
Well, I would have got a bogey anyway. So,
yeah. And you haven't had a bogey yet. So,
yeah, I mean, not yet tonight. Here in about 56 minutes, I will. But,
to make you feel better, while I was looking up the question, I thought it was Ron Dane in my head, even though I think he might only play 3 years and then jump.
Yeah,
pro.
Yeah.
So, but he was a Heisman Trophy winner, and he kind of started the movement of Wisconsin becoming running back U.
Yeah. He kind of started the movement of Wisconsin becoming halfway decent in football, too.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. That's true. And you mentioned that the Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Over the weekend, they had hot honey grilled chicken thighs.
Oh, man.
As their special.
Sign me up.
So, served with potatoes and broccolini. So, yep.
Hot honey has kind of burst onto the scene here the past couple years.
Oh, big time.
I'm very okay with it. I like it on about anything, but pepperoni pizza, it's choice.
Yeah.
As the kids say. I don't know if the kids say that. Do the kids say that? I don't know. It's probably just old people like us that say that.
I feel like even though your daughter is very young, I feel like you're more into the know with what the kids say than I am. So,
well, considering my daughter has about 15 words, I think I probably do have a better idea than what than she does.
No, but yeah, but I don't know. Since you're a parent, I was saying you probably are in the know of what the kids say nowadays more than I am. I don't know. And, your wife's job is in the school system. So
that, I mean, yeah, that does help. It doesn't help. I know the words. I don't know what 99% of them mean, but I know the words.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll say that. Yeah.
There you go. I remember when I had to learn what skibbity was.
Still don't know what it is. I have no clue what 6-7. No idea what that means. I hope it's nothing bad, because I literally have no idea.
I feel dumber even talking about it.
I know. I'm sorry for even bringing it up.
Yeah, but it looked like you had a good time over the weekend. You and your parents went took your annual trip to Wrigley Field to watch the Cubs play yesterday, and you saw a 4-3 victory over the Pirates.
Yeah, I saw them win. It's like pulling teeth, but I'm on a 3-game win streak in person, which has to be about the longest win streak I've ever been on in my entire life. And I've been to a lot of Cubs games, and I would say 3 in a row is pretty close to the longest streak I've had. But they still stink. Can't hit. They could have had 8 or 9 runs yesterday. And in their defense, the wind was blowing in 15 miles an hour. They would have hit at least 4 homers yesterday. Easily, had the wind been, you know, blown out or even neutral. They flew out to the wall 3 times, and Ian Happ hit a double that bounced over the wall that would have been way out on a normal day. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But then in game one of the massive doubleheader to the Brewers today, they had 2 hits and got shut out, which is becoming a theme. They're just not hitting. They're pitching real well, honestly. In fact, since July 1, Cubs have the best starters ERA in baseball. And that was the one thing that everyone's like, man, they need to go hard at the deadline is starting pitching. And they didn't do it. And their starting pitching has been fantastic. They just cannot hit right now. Kyle Tucker is in the worst stretch of his career. It's been a 2-month slump, and it's coincided. It's probably the reason why it's happened. He had a finger injury back in June, where he slid head first into second base, and it kind of jammed his finger. He missed a day or two, came back, hasn't been the same player since, and they haven't put him on the injured list, haven't sat him for multiple days. Now it sounds like Craig's finally going to sit him for a couple days just to kind of reset, because he needs it. And the Boo Birds are coming out in full force. With the entire offense, but especially Tucker yesterday, he didn't run out of ground ball to first. That's not why I booed him. I booed him because he stinks right now. Couldn't care less that he didn't run out of ground ball to first base that led the first baseman to the bag, and he pretty much stepped on the bag before Tucker even had a chance to get out of the batter's box. Whatever. That's stupid. You look around their lineup, no one's really hitting. Michael Busch has been in a bad stretch. He does have 3 homers in the past week to 10 days. So he's showing a little bit of signs. PCA had been in a miserable slump. He's also showing signs. He had 5 or 6 hits over the weekend against Pittsburgh. He was on base at least once today, showing signs. Nico Horner has been good. Dansby Swanson has been pretty good. Ian Happ's starting to show signs. Seiya Suzuki's just not slugging anymore. I mean, he was leading baseball in RBI for a majority of the first half, and I might have 6 RBIs in the second half. He's been bad. There's really nothing else they can do. I mean, people are on Craig for his lineup management and all of that. It doesn't matter where they hit if they're not going to hit. They need their stars to start hitting, and until then, it's going to be ugly to watch, and it has been ugly to watch, but still 96% chance to make the playoffs, so they're still a really good spot, and their schedule lightens up a little bit, although it is on the West Coast, so you got to take that into effect, but or take that into account, but they're still in a good spot as far as a playoff berth goes, and honestly, they haven't been all that bad during this stretch. It just feels like they've been so much worse than they have been because of the Brewers winning 14 in a row. And I said it last week, it magnified the Cubs' issues, or at least it made it feel worse than it actually has been. They've been in a bad stretch, but still, they're only a couple games under 500 their past 20 games, you know. So it's not like they've been, you know, they've lost 3 of their last 12 or anything like that. But they need to turn it around fast. Division, I mean, they're 9 games out now. I mean, they went from 6.5 up 2 months ago to 9 out And that's 14 and a half games they've lost. No, it's more than that. 15 and a half games they've lost over the past, 2 months. And a lot of that has to do with how ungodly on fire the Brewers have been, but also Cubs have played mediocre baseball. And that's the reality of the situation. So until their good players start hitting, they're going to continue to have to try to win 3-2, 4-3. Early in the season, they were just bludgeoning teams. I mean, winning 12-4, that sort of score. They were scoring a ton of runs, and it's just really dried up. And they have to find it fast. So
I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but the worst case scenario, say somehow the Cubs fall into that 4% probability there is of not making the playoffs right now. Is it 2 years and done for Craig Counsell in Chicago?
It honestly might be. He'd be a scapegoat. It wouldn't be fair to him.
Right.
Jed Hoyer should be the one that's gone, but, Tom Ricketts gave him an extension right before the trade deadline, before things went south. And that is something that shouldn't have happened. They should have waited till after the season because you don't know how the final 2 months of the year are going to go. Jed Hoyer hasn't won anything in his entire career by himself. Nothing. He had to, ride Theo Epstein's coattails. And that's the only reason why he got this president of baseball ops job anyway, is they wanted some continuity in there. And he tore it down. But here we are, year four of this. They didn't want to call it a rebuild, but a retool. And, the past 2 years they've been, mediocre. They've been okay, 83 and 79 both years. But then this year it looked all right. Things are finally starting to fall into place here. But, and again, it's only been, 4 to 6 weeks of bad, mediocre baseball. It could turn around quick and they could get unbelievably hot the rest of the year. And this is a stupid conversation to even have. But we have to have it at this point because they've been so bad. And, Say they miss the playoffs, I would not be surprised if their $40 million manager is fired. And I don't trust Jed Hoyer to really do anything to turn things around. In fact, he'll probably just try to tear it down again and start over. And he doesn't deserve that opportunity to even do that. And that's kind of where we're at. It's rough. It's August, too. It's the dog days of August where guys are just kind of burned out. And it's showing, honestly. I mean, there's nothing a manager can do. I mean, yelling at professional athletes does not work. You're not going to be a rah-rah type of guy. Going out there, throwing your hat at an umpire because he misses a call isn't going to fire your team up. These guys are professional athletes. They shouldn't need that sort of stuff. So they just need something to go right. And maybe tonight in the second game of the doubleheader, which I would be kind of surprised if they played because we're about to get hammered by a thunderstorm.
Did they win today?
Oh no, Cubs had two hits.
This was news to me. It was even a doubleheader.
No idea, it's a five game series against the Milwaukee Brewers because they had a rainout as a scheduled four gamer, but they had a doubleheader today. Cubs had two hits and the first one got shut out 7-0, and first pitch here is in about an hour and 20 minutes, and again we're about to get hammered by a thunderstorm. So who knows if they'll even get on. Play the game tonight, which would not be the worst thing in the world to hear. But they got to find it quick. They need to win three of the next four against the Brewers just for my psyche. They lose five. I mean, the division's over. Anyway, I mean, nine games out with, a month and 2 weeks or so to play, a month and a week to play. But you're still, again, very good position as far as playoff goes. Even though it'd be disappointing to get a wild card, especially after the start they had to this season. But, you get that fourth wild card spot, you get to host, that three-game series. And then you get to go to probably Milwaukee if you win that one. So still in a – they just have to find a way to turn things around. And the body language has been terrible, especially from Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker's been his entire career very stoic, very – doesn't show any emotion, whether he caught the final out to win the World Series a couple years ago, and it just kind of looked like a normal game to him. That's kind of his demeanor. But he's now throwing his bat. He's, I literally watched him after he grounded out. He threw his helmet down into the clubhouse, and that's not him. So it's very clearly getting to him, And, you know, baseball is not played on computers like a lot of people think it is with numbers. These guys are not robots. So they're going to, you know, have these emotions. And he has cost himself a lot of money. And I think it's probably starting to play a role in the way he's been playing here recently. So hopefully he can figure it out, because if he doesn't, they're done for, honestly. I don't know if they can even make the playoffs if he doesn't. So give him a few days off. It sucks that it's going to have to be against the Brewers, but give him the rest of the series off. Kind of get himself in a mentally better spot than where he's at now. And hopefully his hopefully he can make some sort of mechanical adjustments, because he's turned into – he went from a top three hitter in baseball the first 3 months of the year to Jason Hayward as a Cub in the second half, rolling over ground balls first and second, constantly popping out to left field. He has only hit one home run his last 35 or 40 games. He doesn't have an extra base hit in weeks, not even a double. I mean, he'll run into a single every once in a while. They need him to be good, and he has not been. So figure it out, dude.
My buddy Plugo from Between Two Beers of the Love Wrestling's YouTube channel, and he's also got a college football podcast starting up on the Hive Network, says he's a big Cub fan living up in northern Indiana. He said Kyle Tucker is costing himself money.
Yeah. Yes, he is. And he might be playing himself into a comfortable position for Tom Ricketts to actually offer him, you know, an actual contract. And if he keeps doing what he's doing the rest of the year, it might be one of those Cody Bellinger situations from a few years ago. He signed him to a 3-year deal with an opt out and see if he'd be willing to play under that. But I don't see him getting $500 million at this point, which is kind of the talk, you know, just 6 weeks ago. Even it's crazy how things can change, especially in baseball.
And he also commented, "Go Irish," which I expect nothing different from Plugo. But we could be talking about your Irish tonight if they would man up and join the conference. Join the conference that make most sense for them.
Most sense, but they won't do it. It's a pride thing at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, well, honestly, if you're them, why join a conference unless you absolutely have to at this point?
Yeah, there's no point.
With how the college football playoff system is at. So
yeah, they're in a better spot than being in a conference.
Exactly, exactly. So last two things I had for you baseball-wise. One, I'm disappointed in your lack of tweeting, because you said if they would go 3-6 in the Reds, Cardinals, and Blue Jays series, you would be vintage J-Man tweeting every inning. We still don't even get one per day.
I've lost my fastball a little bit.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And two, like you said, you went to Wrigley Field yesterday with your parents. Anything different around Wrigley?
No. I mean, you go back in time 10 or 12 years and it's unrecognizable, but we went and took a picture by the Ryan Sandberg statue, which was kind of cool. There were still quite a few flowers around there after he passed away a few weeks ago. Nothing different. There were a smattering of Pirate fans. So I always look to see if I can see any, you know, jerseys, yep, as you say, as you always say, any, yep, unique jerseys. Yeah. I think the only jerseys I really saw as far as Pirates fans go are Roberto Clemente. But again, there were less than 50 Pirates fans there, the 40,000, I would say. And of course, four of them were sitting right in front of me. I can't escape it. They were nice, though.
Any Skeens jerseys?
I didn't see any Skeens.
That sucks that you didn't get to see him pitch, by the way.
It does. It does. I think he's going tonight if they play tonight. If they wouldn't have had an off day on Thursday, he would have gone, because it would have been his regularly scheduled, you know, turn of the rotation, but they had an off day Thursday, so they pushed him back. That would have been cool to see, you know, a generational type pitcher like that. And I was honestly kind of rooting for it that they would see him. Cubs jerseys, it's the same as you'd ever, as you'd think, you know, a lot of Sosa, a lot of Sandberg, a lot of, I saw a lot of Tuckers. I saw a lot of, I don't think I saw any Chris Bryant's, which is about the first time I've never seen a Chris Bryant.
I was going to say, pick somebody from the 2016 team, but
yeah, I saw an Arrieta. I saw a Lester, nothing crazy.
Man, I was hoping for Jason Kendall or Jason Bay or Brian Giles.
The most unique would have been a Jason Kendall Cubs jersey, because he was a
Cub.
He was a Cub for 2.5 months in 2007. That would have been cool to see. But no, nothing cool as far as Pirates go. Trying to think if I saw any current player jerseys for the Pirates. Skeens would have made sense, but again, there were needle in a haystack finding Pirates fans there, so it was kind of difficult. I did see a Brian Reynolds one, I guess, walking out yesterday. But
or you think maybe a McCutcheon, because he's been there twice.
I saw a McCutcheon now that you say that. I did see a McCutcheon, and he didn't even play yesterday, which kind of stunk. But I've seen him play a couple times. But
what NL Central team have you seen play the Cubs the most?
Reds.
Yeah. That makes sense with road games included, probably.
Yeah. It might be Pittsburgh. I've seen Pittsburgh quite a bit at Wrigley and two games in Pittsburgh, too. So it might be them, but it would probably still be the Reds just because we went to Cincinnati a handful of times. The team I've seen the least is the Cardinals. I've only seen them three times, I think. It might be the Brewers two or three times as well.
One of these days we'll have to go down a rabbit hole and you'll have to name teams you have not seen.
I could do it right now for you. The only team in the National League I've never seen play live is the Washington Nationals. That's the only one in the National League. American League, haven't seen all that many. I mean, it's a little more difficult. I've never seen Baltimore. I've never seen Cleveland. Actually, that might be it. I've never seen the Houston Astros, even though they're in the Cubs division for, 20 years. My first 20 years, I never saw them. I have seen everyone else, though.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yep. So.
Yep. I was at a sporting event myself over the weekend on Saturday. Went down to Westfield at the club at Chatham Hills and watched the LIV Golf events. And I had a real good time, even though it was miserably
hot. It was hot on Saturday.
Miserably hot. The hydration stations they had, which was cool. I've never been to an event. Even the PGA Tour doesn't have that out there where you can go fill up water bottles and everything.
You need to have
it. It was nice to have, but it didn't help much. The water didn't stay cold at all. But still, you were drinking it just to hydrate yourself. Had a lot of fun. They're going back next year because over the 3 days, they – estimate about 60,000 people went, which is a LIV record, I believe. Indianapolis just shows up, or the surrounding Indy area for events. And fun course, nice course, relatively new course in the last 15 years or so. Definitely, it's different than the PGA Tour, but that they want it to be different. It's a, I don't want to call it alternative necessarily, but it's an alternative, I guess. And you think about it. I mean, the LIV's only been around for 4 years. PGA Tour has been around for decades and decades. They have a head start on how to host events. But there's music playing the whole time. So you're still required – or not required, but they request you to be quiet, and stay still when people are hitting. But the music's still blaring and stuff, so it's a little different. Other than that, I think the team format's fun to watch in person. The merch was selling like crazy. I got myself a Crushers shirt, which is Bryson DeChambeau's team. And I also got a High Flyers polo, which is Phil Mickelson's team. It's cool to see Bryson. Cool to see Phil. John Rahm, who ended up losing yesterday in the playoff, but yet winning the season points championship for the second year in a row, despite not winning a single tournament this year. But people are like, how the heck did he win that without winning a tournament? Out of their 13 events, he got a top 10 in 12 of those events this year. The other one was 11. Last year, he won it. He won a couple tournaments and finished top 10 in every event. So in 2 years, John Rahm's only finished outside the top 10 one time.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. But he beat Joaquin Neenum, who was leading the points pretty much all year until yesterday. Joaquin won 5 tournaments this year. Didn't walk away with the individual title.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Scottie Scheffler's probably going to win the FedEx Cup title this upcoming weekend, PGA Tour. But there's like 7 guys in contention for the FedEx Cup that could technically win it without winning a PGA Tour tournament. So, because a lot of people were just ripping the LIV format with Rom winning without winning tournament. But Jason Sobel, who we've had on the Tan J-Man show years ago, he came out and said, well, here's a list of guys who could technically win the FedEx Cup on the PGA Tour without winning a tournament if things fall their way. But overall, I'm definitely interested in going back down. Again, next year I had a good enough time. Like I said, it's different from a PGA Tour event, but the one thing I do like versus a PGA Tour event is the shotgun start, meaning everybody starts at the same time, just on different holes.
Oh, that's cool.
So you're guaranteed to see everybody.
Yeah.
You go to a PGA Tour event, if you're going to a Saturday or Sunday round, and say you're wanting to see somebody who barely made the cut, they're teeing off at 8-something in the morning.
Yeah.
9-something in the morning. You better get there early. And, you know, they're going off twosomes or threesomes at a time on hole 1 or hole 10 or whatever they're starting on. They're not shotgun start all over the course. So, I mean, you could, you know, we walked around most of the course. I think the only holes we didn't see, 12 through 17. And then we camped out on hole 3 to end the day and watched about 4 groups come in. It was a drivable par 4, which was pretty cool.
That's cool.
So it's different, you know, and I ran into some people I knew down there. I didn't know they were going to be there, but ran into some. And they were asking me beforehand, what are you going to do? You got to walk around the whole course? You got to station at a hole and just watch everybody come through? I'm like, probably a little bit of both. Hole 11 was their party hole. The LIV has a party hole every week where they try to recreate hole 16 at the Waste Management Open. It does get pretty rowdy, not as rowdy as the Waste Management. It's not near as many people, but that was unique too. So definitely a lot different from a PGA Tour event, but I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. Awesome.
That was your first one you've been to, right?
Yep. First time they've been in Indiana. This upcoming week's their team championship and the last event of the year. It's in Michigan. So the last 3 weeks, Chicago, Indianapolis, Michigan, well, which they call Chicago and Indianapolis, even though it wasn't in Chicago or Indianapolis. Right. They did a Midwestern swing, but they only were in America for 5 tournaments, I believe, this year. Out of their 14.
Wow.
So
that's surprising.
Yeah, early in season there. They played over 5 different continents this season. So, yeah, definitely more global than the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens now that the individual points are done. They have 54 people in their points. Top 25 are locks for next year. So they're back with the same team and everything. 26 through, I believe it is 49, are in the safe zone or open zone, I believe they call it, which is they're going to come back to LIV, but they might be on a different team if their team captain doesn't want them. And then the guys 50 to 54 are regulated unless LIV really wants them back. And one of those guys is a co-captain, former major champion, Henrik Stenson.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would he do? Would the PGA accept him back?
That's the big question, because all these guys are suspended from the PGA Tour. I guess the DP World Tour that used to be the European Tour could accept them. And some of these guys, even though they made the safe zone, some of their contracts are up at the end of the year. Hmm. For instance, Brooks Koepka. And rumor has it, I don't think he's coming back to LIV. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know if the PGA Tour is going to.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guys want him back. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I've heard the rumor Cameron Smith's contract's up, but he's coming back, I've heard. So I think Bryson's contract's up next year. I'd be shocked if he left LIV, because he is the main dude, him and Jon Rahm, and he won't be the main dude on tour. That's Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
But if on the PGA Tour, I want guys like DeChambeau and Rahm back, because even though Scottie's dominating, Bryson and Jon Rahm are two of the top 10 players in the world.
Yeah.
And without them on tour, it's like, yeah, he's beating the rest, but he's still not beating these two top 10 players in the world every week. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the long run.
I assume the PGA would kind of put their pride aside and say, okay, yeah.
Now, I don't know. They came out this weekend. So Bryson is on the Ryder Cup team for the U.S. He's automatically qualified. The top 6 were announced yesterday, which is funny because the only way he earned points was the 4 majors this year.
Hmm.
But he got enough points where he made the Ryder Cup team automatically. Now the rest will be captain's picks. I don't think Keegan Bradley's going to take any other LIV guys, because honestly, none of them have played well enough to probably consistently to be on the team. But so all the PGA Tour guys are playing in a tournament somewhere the week before the Ryder Cup, PGA Tour is not letting Bryson play on. So
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's still a lot of bad blood there. No pun intended. So yeah, but good time. I knew a lot of people who went Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and it looked like everybody knew had a good time. So good for the state of Indiana just to show off what they can do when it comes to sporting events again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. All right, J-Man, you want to get educated?
I do.
All right, let's learn about sporting events that have happened on August 18th. Let's see here. In the 40s, not seeing a lot. In the 50s. On this day, 1959, Branch Rickey resigned as the MLB Pittsburgh Pirates CEO to become president of the new Baseball Continental League.
Interesting. Branch Rickey, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea why this is on this day for sports, so that's why I'm going to read it. The Beatles arrive on this day in 1964. The Beatles arrive in San Francisco, California on their second U.S. visit and first cross-country tour, going across 32 shows in 25 cities over 31 days.
Huh.
Don't know why that was on the sports section, so that's why I read it. On this day, 1965, Orioles' Brooks Robinson hit into his third career triple play.
Yikes, third. That's tough. That's tough to do it one time, let alone three times.
On this day, 1973, Hank Aaron's record of 1,378 extra base hits surpasses Stan Musial's record.
I heard a thing about Hank Aaron that also on this day today, he hit a home run that did not count because the umpire called him out because he stepped out of the batter's box as he took a swing.
Jeez.
So he could have, 756 homers instead.
On his day, 1982, the longest baseball game at Wrigley Field ended after 22 innings as the Dodgers beat the Cubs 2-1. Game started August 17th. On his day, 1982 as well, MLB Philadelphia Phillies' Pete Rose set a record with his 13,941st plate appearance. On this day in 1986, Jim Kelly signed with the NFL's Buffalo Bills for $75 million over 5 years. That's a pretty big time contract back in that day.
You sure it wasn't $7.5 million?
It says 75 million, but it could be an error, but it says 75.
I'm pretty sure that's it. What year was that?
86.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's 7.5 million. Because I'm pretty sure Dan Marino had the largest contract ever in the NFL, and this was like 1991, and it was like 5 years, 25 million or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, 5 years, 75, that'd be incredible for 1980-something.
Yeah. On this day, 1987, Houston Oiler Earl Campbell retired from the NFL. On this day in 2002, who won the PGA Championship?
Tiger.
Tiger lost by one stroke. You would never get this to a one-hit wonder named Rich Beam.
Beam. Beam.
I remember that got him on the Tiger Woods PGA Tour golf on the PlayStation 1, or maybe it was PS2 for a little while. That win alone did. On this day, 2016, Jamaica's Usain Bolt won the gold medal in the men's 200 meter for the third consecutive Summer Olympics, recording a time of 19.78 seconds. That is flying.
Pretty fast. Pretty fast.
And on this day, 2021, Los Angeles Angels pitcher Shohei Ohtani became the fastest player in team history to reach 40 home runs in a season. Also pitched 8 innings in a 3-1 win at Detroit.
He found himself in some more hot water that he probably didn't know about.
Didn't know about. Air quotations. And that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Moody Wood Laser Crafts. Moody Wood Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home. office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order.
Big Ten football preview. However, I'm going to start with blind ranking. It is Big Ten football related, but I'm going to get that here. I have five fired Big Ten coaches that I want you to rank based on. I don't care how you do it. You can figure it out. Starting with Kevin Wilson.
Oh, Kevin Wilson. Actually, I think he's a really good offensive mind. Mm-hmm. Was the Ohio State office coordinator for a while. After he was fired from Indiana, was the Oklahoma office coordinator before he was at IU. Was he Tulsa's head coach recently?
That sounds right.
I think he was. He left Ohio State. But just did some things that's frowned upon nowadays. and really any day, but especially nowadays. But he got IU to make him bowl games.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put him at four.
All right. Lovie Smith.
Oh yeah. I don't think much of him as a college football coach.
Oh, he stunk.
I mean, now I'm wishing I put Wilson more down towards one, two, or three. But Lovie, I mean, got the Bears to a Super Bowl in the NFL, had a lot of good defenses in the NFL. I'm going to put him at three because I think you got somebody worse than him even up your sleeve.
Danny Hope.
My guy, Danny. led Purdue to be bowl champions 1 year. Two bowl appearances in 4 years. Got fired under 500 contract or under 500 record. Honestly, didn't get the support he needed or his assistants. Probably the job was probably too big for him. I don't want to put him this high, but I'm going to put him at two because I think you got somebody worse than him.
Bo Pelini.
I'm putting Bo Pelini at one. Yeah, I think he's a good head coach. Nebraska got tired of winning 9 games a year. Grass isn't always greener on the other side. He went to Youngstown State, and I think he's still there.
I have no idea.
I mean, but a good football coach, in my opinion.
Yeah. Pat Fitzgerald.
Ah, gosh, David, you got me. Let's put Pat at five.
Yeah.
Good coach with Northwestern.
Very good.
Got fired. Made them relevant again. Good linebacker back in the day for Northwestern in the 90s, going to Rose Bowls. If I had to re-rank, I'm going with Lovie five. I will go with Hope four, Wilson three. Pelini 2, Fitzgerald 1.
I would have done the exact same on a rerun. Yeah. So
even though Pelini had 9 win seasons, Fitzgerald's longevity.
Fitz was winning. You know, he was a good football coach. He was a really good football coach because Northwestern's a tough job.
Very tough. Very tough. So, but good blind rankings. I thought you were going to go something with quarterbacks, so you threw me off there, but I like it. I like it. So. Blind ranking segment is brought to you by like it is every week. Slow down, Tanner. By Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025 or 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weisberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Yes, sir. Big Ten predictions. I can't believe we're already here, but here we are. Seems like we were just doing this show.
It's week zero, my man. It's week zero.
It is. There is football. I've had a hard time getting into week zero, though. I don't know.
It's dumb.
Yeah. Probably because it's not Labor Day, and I'm so used to Labor Day being the start of football, Labor Day weekend. But we even have a ranked matchup, ranked in conference matchup between.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, K-State and Iowa State. It's in Ireland. I think it's in Ireland.
It is. Yep. But,
Who do you have winning the Big Ten?
I got the Buckeyes of Ohio State.
Yeah. They did lose 14 players in the NFL. But They have the best receiver in college football in Jeremiah Smith, arguably the best defensive back in Caleb Downs. They also have Carnell Tate, Sonny Styles. They picked up transfer Max Clair from Purdue.
Yeah, that hurts.
I saw McShay had him in his first round.
No, of course he did.
On his first mock draft.
Purdue lost three transfers that just kills them. I mean, they lost a ton, but three guys that just get those three back and they might win Purdue a few more games.
Yeah. They did name a quarterback today. What is it? Julian Sayin or something like that? Something Sayin.
Yep. He's a freshman transfer from Alabama.
So, obviously you got to replace, Will Howard, but, there's so many weapons around him that it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. I got them going 12-0, 9-0 in conference.
Yep.
Now will they go back to back national title? You'll have to wait to see my predictions for that next week.
That makes it more difficult to do it back-to-back years. But who do you have finishing second?
I got Penn State. I think the Nittany Lions, they were in the college football playoff last year. Mm-hmm. They lost to Notre Dame. Drew Aller's senior year. I still feel like Franklin hadn't gone over the hump. Even though he was in the college football playoff, like he's got to knock off Ohio State one of these days and the big boys. But I don't have it happening this year. That I have Ohio State being their one loss.
Me too.
I got Penn State going 11-1, 8-1 in conference.
Yep, I haven't finished in second at 11-1, 8-1 in the conference. Drew Aller, as you said, potential number one overall pick. Two great running backs, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. Very talented defense as well, per usual. But they have to get over the hump eventually. Have to. So, who you have finished in third?
I got the Oregon Ducks. Got them at 11-1, 8-1 in the conference. Their lone loss at Penn State. They don't have Ohio State on the schedule, so they're non-con. I mean, they do play Oklahoma State, also Oregon State, but they should get past both of those. Their schedule's relatively easy for how much talent they have. So if they get past Penn State, we're probably looking at an undefeated season for all the Ducks.
Yeah, lose Dylan Gabriel to the NFL. Sure. Former five-star recruit Dante Moore should be the starter at quarterback. Did have a season-ending knee injury to star wide receiver Evan Stewart, which stings. But I was surprised I had them because I haven't heard much talk about Oregon for whatever reason. Maybe it's because a lot of talk have been placed on Ohio State or Penn State. But I have them 11-1 and going 8-1 in the conference as well.
Yeah, and another Purdue transfer in conference, Dylan Thieneman. Going to be one of their starting safeties. So,
yep. Who you have finishing fourth?
I got the USC Trojans.
So do I. I don't know how. I don't either. I have them going 9-3, 7-2 in conference.
I got them going 10-2, 8-1 in conference.
Yeah, I don't get it. I was very surprised when I saw that after I did the playoff predictor, but huge year for Lincoln Riley. He has to do something eventually.
They got talent.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing. I got their lone Big Ten loss coming out of Oregon late in the season, week 13. Their other loss I have at Notre Dame, week 8.
Yeah. They lost 5 games by 1 score last season. And they trailed in 11 of their 13 games, so they have to start fast in games this year. I mean, you can say that about every team, but I was very surprised that USC as good as I did.
Yeah, I knew I kept picking them to win, but still, when it came out with the playoff prediction website, I used it like, wow, 10-2, okay.
Yeah. I have Michigan finishing fifth.
I told you before we started there was a team in here.
I thought it'd be USC.
Don't think so. Oh, there's one. I think USC is more likely to finish 10-2 than this team I have right here at 9-3. That's Minnesota.
Yeah, where do I? I have Minnesota 7-5, so I'm not that far.
I have them 9-3, 6-3 in conference.
Let's see Minnesota. Let's see what I have on Minnesota here. I'm gonna bring it up real quick.
I have them losing 3 road games: Ohio State, Iowa, and Oregon.
Where is Minnesota? I somehow don't have anything written down for Minnesota, which is kind of classic Josh. Obviously we hate the boat rowers. Fan at all.
I got on them here.
They usually run the ball very well.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, this is PJ Fleck's ninth year. I mean, so he's 58 and 39 overall. Let's see here. Running back AJ Turner's back. Trying to find who their quarterback is. I can't even think. He must not be good because it's not not saying anything. They did add Malachi Coleman from Nebraska.
All right. Minnesota has a great defense, potential two-way star in Coy Parrish, and will lean on first-year starting quarterback Drake Lindsey for
Oh, there it is right there. Yeah.
According to PJ Fleck, they asked him about being a wild card college football playoff contender, and he said, this isn't a pipe dream. So.
Hate that I have them going 9-3.
As I said, I have Michigan fifth at 9-3. All eyes on Bryce Underwood.
100%.
He's.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
cut you off. That's all right. He's one of the most hyped quarterbacks I can remember in Big Ten coming in. So they'll play good defense, and now they had their hands slapped by the NCAA, and that distraction is now over in a sense. So I fully expect them to be much better than they were.
I have them seventh at 8-4, 6-3 in conference. I have them losing at Oklahoma week two, at Nebraska week four, at USC week seven, and at Ohio State week 14.
Yeah. I was surprised I had them at 9-3, especially with a freshman quarterback. So, but.
Now, at least they play Oklahoma, not con. Usually they're not cons.
Usually pathetic. But
tough schedule, though. I mean, you got Wisconsin or at Nebraska. You got Wisconsin at home, at USC, Washington at home, and then rivalry trip at Michigan State, Ohio State at home. Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland, those take care of. But all those rest, pretty tough.
Yeah, so. Very tough. So, I have Illinois finishing sixth at 8-4, 6-3 in the conference.
I got Illinois eighth at 8-4, 5-4 in conference. My number six team is Nebraska, 9-3, 6-3 in conference. I think their schedule is shaping up for them to have a real good season.
I have them at 7-5, 4-5 in the conference, and finishing 11th. So I'm glad we're finally differing. The USC one threw me for a loop because I couldn't believe you had them exactly where I had them. But Illinois won 10 games last year, first time since 2001. They get continuity at quarterback.
Should have been nine. Altmaier fumbled.
He did.
It's okay.
And it should have been nine, which is still one of the greatest seasons.
If that happens, Ryan Walters might still be coach of Purdue.
Man, I wish it would have happened.
It's all good.
Luke Altmaier's back, had a great year last year. They get all five starting offensive linemen back, which is huge. They did lose Pat Bryant to the NFL, who's having a pretty good preseason, it looks like, so far there in Denver. They got about nine starters back on defense. They should be very good this year, but again, it's Illinois football, so who knows?
Their schedules are unique. Like,
it is.
It's going to tip one way or the other. I mean, because they'll beat Western Illinois at Duke, could be a tough little game. They'll get Western Michigan, but then that week 4-7 is interesting. At Indiana, that's going to be a big game. Mm-hmm. USC at home, at Purdue, they should beat Purdue, but that rivalry is weird. Purdue usually plays Illinois pretty good.
Yeah, Illinois doesn't play very well in Ross-Ade. Of course, Illinois stinks usually, which plays a role into why they lose at Ross-Ade.
Then they get Ohio State, and after a bye week, they go to Washington, but then they get Rutgers at home, Maryland at home, at Wisconsin, Northwestern. So, like, if they can get past that bye week in week eight with only like one loss, sitting
pretty good shape. But again, I think a lot of people are like, okay, they'll beat Washington, they'll win in Wisconsin. And it's just because it's Illinois football, and I know their history, and they stank usually. But I have a hard time believing they're even a remote chance at making the college football playoff. But again, eight wins, unbelievable season for Illinois.
Yeah,
in their history. So
And heck, if the Big Ten would get their way and get 28 teams in the college football playoff, 8-4 Illinois might get in.
They'd probably be in at that point. Yeah.
I love the Big Ten, but come on, guys. Stop.
Stop ruining our favorite sports.
At Nebraska, like I said, I got them go 9-3, 6-3 in conference. I have them starting off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-0.
It's about what they did last year, almost.
And then losing at Minnesota. I have them losing at home to USC. And then at Penn State.
They have no true road games until October 11th, and they don't have to play Ohio State or Oregon. We talked about Dana Holgorsen last week and wondering where he was. He's Nebraska's offensive coordinator. So
wow, that's pretty good offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Dylan Raiola has a chance to be special. He really needs to stop the Patrick Mahomes stuff. I think 5-6 years down the road, he'll be embarrassed by his impersonation of Pat Mahomes. But he's very good, very talented.
Yep.
I have Iowa finishing 7th at 7-5, 5-4 in the conference. They must have the tiebreaker over Indiana, who I have 8th at 8-4, 5-4 in the conference.
I got the Hawkeyes at 12th at 6-6, 4-5 in the conference.
They'll play great defense. They'll have great special teams. They got a transfer quarterback, Mark Gronowski, who had a great year at South Dakota State, and he won a FCS national title. Good offensive line per usual, but again, can they score enough points?
No Ohio State on the schedule, no Michigan. They get Penn State and Oregon, but both at home, but those are two of the losses I have them losing.
Yeah.
I also have them losing at Iowa State, at Wisconsin, at USC, and at Nebraska.
All right.
So they got tough. I mean, their last 4 weeks are Oregon at home, at USC, Michigan State at home, at Nebraska. That's
tough. I have IU finishing 8th. Who do you have 7th?
I had Michigan 7th, Illinois 8th.
Gotcha.
I got IU 9th at 8-4, 5-4 in conference.
I have them exact same, except I have them at 8. Fernando Mendoza, transfer, who was also in McShay's first round. They also picked up a couple offensive linemen in the portal. They're not going to be able to replicate. I'm sorry, Indiana fans. They're just not. They're not that. I think they'll be good, but
I think Cignetti's a good coach, but you got at Oregon, at Penn State. You didn't have that last year.
Didn't have it. Yep. And again, their non-con is a joke.
We won't even know what they are until week 4 when Illinois comes to Bloomington.
Right.
And I have Illinois winning that game. It's a toss-up. I think it's going to be a good game, but I got Illinois winning that game.
I can't remember who I picked in that one.
I actually have Indiana dropping that game, and then they go to Iowa week 5. I have them dropping that one.
It's not going
to
be easy.
But their 4 losses, I have at home against Illinois, then road trips at Iowa, at Oregon, at Penn State. Other than that, they should take care of everybody else. Yeah. Wisconsin could be a hard home game, but
yeah, they should. I actually have Wisconsin finishing 9th at 6-6.
I got 10th at 6-6, 4-5 in conference.
They ranked 102nd in the nation in passing yards per game. They did pick up Billy Edwards Jr., transfer from Maryland, and they have new coordinator Jeff Grimes to hopefully turn that around. But could be a big year for Fickell.
Oh, big year! I think they got to go back to more of a pro style off instead of air raid.
Agreed.
They do play Alabama week 3. That's not going to go well.
It's not going to go well at all.
But yes, I got them 6-6. Nick Small. We talked about Notre Dame last year. Josh had them going, I think, 11-1. I had them 10-2. So we both think they'll make the college football playoff.
Yep.
So, and I'm guessing this is from your dad. Illini.
Yes, probably. My dad said yesterday, and you'll get a kick out of that, out of this. He goes, are you going to pretend to not be an Illinois football fan tomorrow, or what you going to do? So
we gotta put a major up so you can move the goalposts again this year.
Yeah, I know. College football playoff or bust.
All right. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. I had Minnesota finishing 10th. You had Iowa 12th.
I had Wisconsin 10th.
I had Nebraska 11th.
I was looking at the college football thing I did, not my actual. I had Wisconsin 11th, Iowa 12th. I had Washington 10th at 7-5, 4-5 in conference.
I have Washington 12th at 7-5, 4-5 in the conference. There's a lot of 7-5, 6-6 on here.
Yeah.
For me, but, Yeah, Washington, as I like to call them. Still weird they're in the Big Ten. Still do not like it. But Washington.
This was a team 2 years ago that was in the college football championship, but the different head coach now, Jed Fish, second year.
Yep.
New defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters, for them.
We'll a good coordinator. We've seen him be a good coordinator.
Yeah, he is a good coordinator.
Quarterback is Damond Williams Jr. He's a sophomore. He threw for over 300 yards and 5 touchdowns in their bowl. So they have they feel good about him going in, and they also have a good running back, Jonah Coleman. So I know nothing about Washington. I'll be honest with you.
And I'll be honest, the next teams 13 through 18, I all have not making a bowl.
I have Michigan State finishing 13th at 6-6, so I do have them in a bowl. Barely in a bowl.
I only got them 2-7 in conference. All these teams now are two wins in conference or less. So.
They need a good Aiden Childs. It always falls on the quarterback.
It does. It does.
And Jonathan Smith's second year, so he needs a good. He needs a good year. He'll probably enter the third year on a hot seat. They were 1-4 on the road, so they have to play better on the road.
Sad thing is, I got them getting off the 3-0 start. That's assuming they can beat Bill O'Brien in Boston College week 2. But then after that, I got them going downhill in conference play. I got their 2 wins being UCLA at home and Maryland at home. That's it, huh?
Mm-hmm. I have Rutgers at 14th at 5-7.
I got Rutgers 16th at, let me double check my thing. No, I got him 15th, 4-8, 1-8 in conference.
Yikes. Ethan Calliope-Manis is back. He became the first Rutgers quarterback since 2015 to pass for more than 2,000 yards in a season. They only had 22 total sacks, so they went out in the portal and got 2 guys, Eric O'Neill and Bradley Weaver, to help improve that pass rush. But Greg Schiano probably has a lifetime contract there, honestly.
I would assume so.
Yeah, he should anyway. But
brutal schedule. I mean, Oregon at home, at Ohio State, and Penn State at home. I mean, you're 3 of the top 5 right there.
I'm going to do my book at Prediction of the Week since I have not done it. I think Iowa State wins on Saturday. So I think they win. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and farm insurance. Contract Travis at 219-869-4561.
Book it. My 14th place team's probably your 18th. That's the Purdue Boilermakers. Nope. I have them at what I think's my ceiling at 4-8.
Yeah. I have them 17th at 3-9. The only Big Ten win I have them getting is Northwestern.
I got them getting Northwestern on the road and Rutgers at home.
Okay.
Homecoming. But they're 0-2 against Rutgers since Rutgers joined the Big Ten.
They've played twice?
Yeah.
Wow.
2017 on the road and 2020 at home. Hopefully Purdue can get off to their first 2-0 start since 2020 by beating Ball State and Southern Illinois. 83 new guys on the roster.
That's great.
Nobody knows outside the players and the coaches. I'm guessing Ryan Brown will be the starting quarterback. Sounds like today he got most of the snaps with the ones after their scrimmage Saturday. Malachi Singleton, the transfer from Arkansas, went into the spring. Everybody thinking he was going to be the starter, but coming out of the spring, they went and got Ryan Brown back from North Carolina. So that tells me he'll probably be the guy. Only one returning offensive starter, that's running back Devin Mockabee. They have a couple on defense, but mostly it's – even for me, it's going to be like, who the heck's this guy during week 1? So I like Barry Odom, and I like the staff, though. So.
It kind of makes it exciting, though, not knowing who's going to be. Because in the NFL, you know exactly. They put out a depth chart every single week. True. You know who's going to be. But, yeah, game 1, college football, you really have no idea. Really have no idea. It's kind of fun.
So if they can win 4 games and be competitive and not get beat by 66 points, I'll be happy. I know that's a loser mentality, I'm trying to think for the future. I think Odom's got a good vision. I think he's a good coach.
I have, as I said, Purdue 17th at 3-9, 1-8 in the conference. I have UCLA 15th. They picked up Nico Iamaliva
as well.
I have them 4-8, 2-7. Maryland, I have them 16th at 5-7, but 2-7 in conference. So I think they have a good non-con, 3-0, but then
I actually have UCLA 17th at 3-9, 2-7 in conference. Maryland at 16, 4-8, 1-8 in conference.
All right. And then I have Northwestern 18th at 2-10, 0-9 in conference.
Me too, my friend. I don't think they'll be good at all.
That concludes our Big Ten preview. So that's always fun, and it'll be fun to go and look back and see
how bad we were. Yep.
Hit me with that birdie bogey, and we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, before Penn State became the 11th member of the original Big Ten in 1993, who was the newest member before them that made it a 10-team league? I'll even give you the year, J-Man, 1950.
Okay, 1950. That helps me out none.
I'll give it to you.
I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I don't know why.
Michigan State.
Oh, man, I was thinking Michigan State. And, of course, I didn't say them, which is pretty typical for me. I almost went with, like, Michigan or Ohio State, even though they're probably, like, charter.
I think Wisconsin was too.
Probably. Yeah. I knew it wasn't Illinois. I knew it wasn't Purdue or Indiana.
I feel like before Michigan State, I could be way off here. It was like either Northwestern or Iowa, but I could be way off.
I thought Northwestern as well. Plus 11 on the year. You're plus 12. We're pathetic. Big losers.
We're not good.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with our NFL preview. That's probably my favorite of the year. So have a great week, everybody.